And as we continue from the blockchain summit here in New York City, we're going to spend a little time talking about the impact that blockchain may very well have on you, the consumer, especially in the world of the Internet of Things, a topic that has been brought up quite often. The digitalization of many things in our lives continues to grow. Rajiv Sondhi is the Senior Director for Software Engineering and Digital Technology for Capital One, and he joins us here at the table. Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
In terms of what you're doing on a daily basis with Capital One, how is blockchain impacting that company right now?
So we are doing a lot of things in the blockchain, and right now what we are doing is still from the experimentation point of view. We are trying to explore how we can just work on the assets, how we can just work on the payments and everything, which goes into the financial area, right, and also a little bit beyond the financial areas also, to really get the feel of what is this technology, how does it hold the promise for the future, and how we can just contribute back to the open source. So Capital One is an active active player and contributor in an open source which is called chain.com. Okay. And we work very closely with other companies to publish what is the first operating system, first OS on the chain. It's called Chain OS. So that's where we're just trying to experiment, we're trying to explore, and we're trying to prove out one way or the other what is the promise of blockchain.
That's interesting that you take that approach, because a lot of people here are of the mindset that blockchain will work. There's no question about it. And you may be of that mindset too, but there's still a process that you have to go through to see that it actually works for what Capital One wants to do with its clients.
That is true. That is absolutely true. There is a lot of promise, but it is still in the experimentation phase. Will it work? Yes, it will. But how it will work, where it will work the best.
And to maximize it,
too. And maximizing it. That is the key thing, because everything will work, but can you productionize it? Will it work only between you and me? Is a different thing. Will it work in all the customers of Capital One?
Right.
Will it work across the legal, the boundaries? It will work across the geographical boundaries. That is still needs to be proved out at a scale.
You are here talking about, or we're talking about, the Internet of Things and the relationship with blockchain. How is that going to play out in your mind?
I think that is the one area which has a lot of potential. And this is what I was talking about, because the Internet of Things provides a unique challenge. When we are talking about a particular enterprise, you're talking about hundreds and thousands of customers. But when you talk about the devices, you're talking about billions of devices.
Right.
And those are like 100 billions of devices by 2025.
Right.
There won't be, it is not possible for one centralized ecosystem, doesn't matter how large it is, to handle such a large volume. And it's not only that, it's more about how those devices are operating within the different namespaces. And when you talk about the namespaces is, basically, there are certain devices which I want to share the information only about myself. When I'm doing a workout,
right,
my heart rate, my cardio,
right,
all those things, I don't want to share it with anyone.
Right.
That is within my personal namespace. Then I just go to a larger, which is the home. I want to share certain things which is within my home, the gadgets which is within my home. It
right.
can be as simple as my coffee maker. It can be as simple as with the lightning or anything with the fridge or with the toaster.
Right. Yeah.
But as you have no interest what kind of a coffee you want. So that is where the blockchain will come into the picture, because of the very decentralized nature of it. Because it is based on the different domains. I can build my own domains. And that is where the gadgets, the devices, they can talk to each other.
Right.
And it provides not only the decentralized model, but also builds the trust within those devices. It builds the transparency, and it provides the autonomy of the devices. The devices, they don't need to take my permission. A device doesn't need to talk to the other devices. They can talk autonomously with each other.
Well, not only have people talked about trust here as being a key component that will come from blockchain, but also just the protection of data. And when you're talking about, as you just said, with the variety of different data points that people now have in their home, on their smartphone, you know, when they're working out. You can, you know, continue this list ad infinitum.
Yep.
You have to be very careful with the data going forward. But it seems like blockchain is built to maybe have one of the best sets of protection of the data that, that we've seen come down the pike in a while.
It is. It is. And the reason it is because there's no centralized storage of the data. It's distributed across the network.
Right.
And it is encrypted. So that is where you get the advantage of the additional security and the trust that people have in the data. Everything is encrypted.
Right. We're joined by Rajiv Sani, who is with Capital One. You're listening to SiriusXM 111 Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Not only does this have to be a bit of a learning process for you in terms of how this will all play out, but the relationship you have with your clients as well. And they have to have a bit of a learning curve on this as well, correct?
Absolutely. It's a learning curve for each and every one. And I was talking to my daughter, who is 9 years old. She was the other day looking at a video on cryptocurrencies. And I was like, where did you pick it up? And she was like, you know, Dad, I just saw you just working on this presentation. And I just like wanted to see, what is this cryptocurrency? What is this Bitcoin? Can I get those coins? Can I see them physically? So look at the impact it is having on everyone. A 9 year old is aware of a cryptocurrency.
Well, I was going to say, at least your daughter, my kids aren't there yet, but that's very important.
That shows that how we are going to have everything around us, which is dealing with the code.
So then let me ask you this then. How important does it become in the years ahead of us that education takes a look at blockchain and the importance that it will have to society in general, so that your daughter, my kids, that next generation is prepared? They already have that knowledge when they graduate college, when they head out for their first job.
Yeah, I think it may become a part of the life. They don't even need to have the knowledge on this thing, because if you really see, the world of this new generation is revolved around the code.
Right.
They want to, the other thing which she requested was on her Christmas gift is CogniToys. And I was like, what is CogniToys?
CogniToys?
Yes. It's basically the toy which will give you age-appropriate answers. So think about the exposure that the kids in the elementary school are having around the technology.
Is it going to happen enough in schools, or is this going to be something that's going to happen more in the home between parents and their children?
I think it is happening in the school also, because whatever kids observe at home, they go and talk at school.
Right, right.
And that's how the whole of the ecosystem works.
Right.
And if you really see in the schools, they are talking about introducing programming in the elementary schools. Yeah. I did my first programming when I was in high school.
Right, yeah.
So.
And now it's middle school or grade school.
Yeah, it's even in the elementary schools.
Yeah.
So that is the impact of the technology, and this is where the whole of the IoT, the blockchain, or any other emerging technologies. Right now we just say that the IoT and the blockchain are the two key disruptive technologies.
Yeah.
But it's just going to happen much more and at much faster rate.
You mentioned disruptors, and obviously it's something that we've talked about quite often on a variety of different levels. How much of a disruptor is this right now? Because it feels like it may very well, it's obviously making its mark at this point, but give it a couple of years, as many people have said, 2, 3, 4 years, it's going to be much more of a disruptor.
It will be. Right now, I won't call it's a disruptor, but it is showing all the parameters, all the sign of being disruptive. It still has to go through a lot of evolution.
Right.
It is still evolving, and it has to prove out itself. And as we just keep on maturing on this thing, a lot of things are going to shake up and shake out.
Is it evolving? Is it evolving within the companies themselves, as you said, being understanding how to use blockchain for their own particular purposes?
That is where it is evolving right now. Each and everyone is trying to understand and decipher it. What does it mean? How can they use it?
Right.
And how can they scale it? There are some constraints around the scalability. There are some constraints around the regulations. There's a vacuum there. Right. No one knows what the regulation is going to work on it, especially when you're talking about the privacy, when you're talking about the money.
Right.
So it is going to evolve on all the grounds. And once it has evolved over the next couple of, I will say it will take a couple of years.
Right.
To become a mainstream.
One of the things, though, that people have said here is the fact that government may understand with this more so than it has with a lot of other things how important blockchain may be for the future. And where government is concerned, a lot of times they will fall behind on something. On this, they really can't afford to fall behind, can they?
And you're right. And if I just really see all the funding, all the sponsorship, and all the discussion which is happening among the government. If you go in the DC area, the government is sponsoring a lot of projects. They are doing a lot of funding to understand it. They do want to take this opportunity not to miss the boat.
Right.
They want to be a part of the mainstream adoption of the technology.
Right.
And if not the adoption, at least the understanding of the technology, because that's how it's going to work. They have a lot of stake in it. Think from the taxation point of view.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
If everyone starts talking about the cryptocurrencies, and if everyone starts talking about the whole of the way the things are working, they have to not only talk about the taxation, they have to think about the security, they have to think about the privacy.
Yep.
They are the one who has to build the regulations, and the regulations of today are not going to work with the millennials.
Yep, absolutely.
And they're definitely not going to work with the generation of which my daughter or the kids who are in the elementary schools fall. So they are trying to keep up with the speed.
Great to have you here. Nice meeting you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Rajiv Sandhi from Capital One joining us here at our table at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit. We'll take a break, come back with more of our show in a minute. Sirius XM 111 Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School.